course, Osama bin Laden was the nut job I could not think of yesterday. And thanks for reminding me of that. And what else do we have to catch up on? Oh, I had to find out about Job, and I did. First of all, hello everyone. Welcome to the Revelation series. I am Martin Zunder, your host, making sense for a living here, making more sense in 15 minutes than the multitudes of Christianity make in 15 years. Job was not an Israelite. This is what I've discovered. I suspected as much, and my suspicions have been confirmed. He was, in fact, a descendant of Esau, which made him an Edomite. And some have proposed the idea that he was a king of Edom, one of the kings, one of the illustrious, of the illustrious line of the Edom kinghood. And that would have been Job. You get that sense, don't you, when you read Job, that he's a rich guy, he's a guy in power, he has a large disposable income, and he has a complaining wife. I was almost going to use another word, but I said complaining, didn't I? So, the wilderness. This wilderness escape that Israel will take into the Sinai desert is analogous to the escape they made in Egypt, out of Egypt. They were boxed in by water in Egypt, and they were saved. Egyptians behind them, water in front of them, and the earth swallowed up. No, that's what's going to happen later, but God parted the water. Now, Satan is going to chase him with water again in the future, during the tribulation, but the earth is going to swallow up the water. We'll see that when we talk about the dragon. And he tries to kill him with water. Doesn't work. But look at this. I'm going to go to Exodus 19:4, because this is not the only time. Well, let's go to Unveiling 12:14 first. The Unveiling 12:14. And given to the woman were the two wings of a large vulture. Many versions will give this as an eagle, but it's not an eagle, it's a vulture. Eagles do not congregate, vultures do, and this same word was used of birds that congregate, that gather together. That would not be the eagle. They're lonesome creatures, lonesome. They like their own space. You never find an eagle on Facebook, do you? They're not social creatures. They don't tweet. They just kind of pose for national emblems and things of that nature. Vultures, though, and I like this because the bird of prey, it's a bird of prey, and we have a poor opinion of vultures. We're afraid of vultures. And one of my favorite movies was The Jungle Book, and I love the four vultures. Hey, Flaps, what we gonna do? I don't know what you want to do. I've got it. Let's flap over to the east side of the jungle. They've always got a bit of action, a bit of a swinging scene, all right? Ah, come off. Things are right dead all over. You mean you wish they were? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, those are the four vultures on The Jungle Book, famous Disney movie. Love that. I got the whole dialogue memorized. Someday I'll make a series on that. I know you'll tune in. So we look down on this fowl. It's a fowl, and yet it's used for the escape of Israel, as a type of the escape of Israel, because it will be inglorious, ignominious, if that's a word, sure. And God always does it this way. I like how he does it that way. So that was 14. I want to make sure I got the right word. That was 12:14. Given to the woman were two wings of a large vulture that she may be flying into the wilderness, into her place, there where she is nourished a season, seasons, and half a season. Here we go with the season, seasons, one season, two seasons. That's three and a half a season, three and a half. That's years. Why does John say seasons instead of years? And why does he not just say 1,260 days? Because as we discussed earlier, I believe the shows I made in Los Angeles, I brought this point up to you. This has to do with the agricultural time, which is measured in seasons. And so Israel is going to be fed again, the agriculture in the wilderness, just as she was in Egypt when she got manna that miraculously appeared on the ground and quail, which fell from the heaven. Exodus 19:4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on vulture's wings and brought you to myself. You look like you haven't got a friend in the world. Haven't you got a mother or a father? Well, we're your friends, kid. There's the vultures. So, once again, Israel is going to be rescued. However, this is the bad news. Not all of them will survive. There's the 144, we have to keep these companies distinct. There are the 144,000. They are sealed on their foreheads and they will go through, as Ray Prenzing used to say, through the day of indignation. But they will be sealed, unharmed. Maybe hassled, maybe harried, but they won't be killed. Then there's the vast throng. Going to talk about them in a second. We have a select group that goes out into the wilderness. They are miraculously sustained, like Elijah, who got fed from the ravens. I don't have any voices for ravens. I do have some for raisins. Hello, we're raisin. But I don't have any for ravens. I don't know if they have English accents. I think they have German accents. Jawohl, we have these German accents. That was a raven. But all these birds, and it's so cool because birds were unclean in the Old Testament, right? The fowls. They were unclean according to law. And yet here they're being used to help Israel. And to me, that is going to take, just the fact that this is the picture here, it would have defiled this very book to any Israelite who read it back in the day, of vulture's wings. And they had to have wondered why it was brought up in Exodus. But it was, and that's just God winking, saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. So they're snatched away on vulture's wings. Not us. No, we're snatched away by the Lord himself. We don't want any vulture's wings. When you see a vulture circling you today, it's bad news. This is what I always tell you about the timing of God. It's all timing, ladies and gentlemen. A vulture circling you today is not good. A vulture circling you, if you are an Israelite during the tribulation, that's the best thing you could possibly see. So there's no food out here in the wilderness where she's going. It's a rocky fastness south of Judea. No food. And the same as in Egypt, nurtured there. It's going to take faith, and there will be some of faith at the time. So the country we're talking about is south of the Mount of Olives and all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba down there. So if you go there now, this is where actually the ancient city of Petra was. It was a city that was hewn out of solid rock. And again, it would seem like an ideal refuge. Did I talk about this before? It's been a few... I'm suddenly thinking that maybe I went over this before, which is why I brought up the, Osama bin Laden reference. I made a show and I deleted it because I didn't like it. I can't remember what I said on that show and what I'm saying now exactly because it was a few days ago. So bear with me if some of this is repetitive. In fact, you may not even know that I couldn't think of the name of Osama bin Laden because that might have been the show I erased. I was sitting there trying to go, who's that lunatic in the desert that tried to hide in the cracks and the crevices? And I couldn't think of it. I might have deleted that show. But anyway, it was indeed Osama bin Laden. And you would think, you know, to hide in the rocks of the Afghanistan wilderness. We're looking at Israelites hiding in the rocks in the caves, and you could wonder how that could possibly be safe, what with modern warfare, missiles, and smart bombs, things of that nature. I'm telling you, it is going to be supernatural. People are trying to figure out, how's God going to do it? People are trying to figure out, if a third of the earth is destroyed, there's no infrastructure to support Israel. Oh, it doesn't matter. Let it all be decimated. Let me ask you this. Those who are worried about how Israel could possibly thrive in the thousand-year kingdom when a third of the earth is destroyed. Well, you could destroy three-thirds of the earth, which according to my math is the whole thing, and it wouldn't matter. In fact, it would be a playground for God now to work his miracles. What happened after the disruption of the world? The world was a chaos and vacant, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And then, perfect. That's perfect opportunity if you're about to rearrange things, if you're about to demonstrate your creative prowess by bringing land out of the water, by bringing life forms up there, by the power of your word. That would be a great opportunity. That would be a canvas for an artist. What's my canvas if I'm a creative artist? Chaos and vacancy. Fantastic. So you can kill 3/3, which is the whole damn thing, of the earth if you want. And guess what? It is a perfect canvas for God to bring the kingdom. So don't sit here and try to figure out, well, I can't, how's God going to do this? Maybe you can't do it, but God can do it. And look at his procedures. Look at his history. Look at what he's done in the past. Look at his resume. Study the old films. Study the videos. Go read Genesis. Go read it how he decimates things. Go read about how he kills and makes alive. Do that. Then you will not be concerned anymore about, it just seems impossible. Yeah, that's right. It is. For us, but not for God. The place will be miraculously prepared for Israel. And the dragon, having been foiled in his attempts to destroy the woman, will now turn his attention to those who are not included in this Exodus. Ooh, Martin used the word Exodus. That's right, because I'm showing you that this is a throwback to the good old days. It's like the greatest hits, but it's coming back with a new wave twist to it. All right? So there are going to be faithful ones all over the earth. So the dragon is foiled. Now he turns his attention to those not included in that Exodus, and those include the faithful all over the earth. I believe these to be the vast throng, quoting from scriptures, the vast throng, and they will be dispersed, or they might be there now. I'm not saying there's going to be an active dispersion. I think if there was, it probably happened a millennia ago, but there are faithful all over the planet, and these will be persecuted, and some of these will give their own lives. Now, here's something interesting about the temple, the throne section versus the temple section. The throne section ends with the political coming of Christ. Remember, we're going to show you two different comings here, one at the end of the throne section, one at the end of the temple section. Listen to this at the end of the throne section. I'm in the unveiling 11, backtracking a little bit, verse 15. And the seventh messenger trumpets and loud voices occurred in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world became our Lord's and his Christ, and he shall be reigning for the eons of the eons. Reigning for the eons of the eons, right? Reigning, rule, throne, reign. Got it? All right, now we go to the end of the temple section. Now we're fast forwarding here. And in the unveiling 20, verse 5, the rest of the dead do not live till the 1,000 years are finished. This is the former resurrection. Happy and holy is he who was having part in the former resurrection. Over these, the second death has no jurisdiction, but they will be priests. Religion. Priests of God and of Christ, and they will be reigning with him 1,000 years. So you see an addition here of not just reign, but a priesthood. They will be priests, and that's how the temple section ends. Isn't it brilliant? Don't thank me. I'm just your guide. I'm just your host taking you through this amazing unveiling. An inspired letter. Don't let anybody tell you it's not inspired. Don't let anybody tell you it's not supposed to be there. It's just so hard to understand, Martin. Yeah, but somehow we're in chapter 12 and we understand everything so far.